Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Daniel chapter 10 verse 8. Therefore I, Daniel, was left alone and saw this great vision. It is not good for man to be alone. It is good to be alone because then we can see God. Coins we use every day have two faces. No coin has one face. All coins have two faces. Coins of religious value have two sides as well. To our detriment, we normally see and choose to see only one side of religious values, coins. We support this or we support the opposite side. The result is that we lose the benefit or the blessing of the whole truth of both sides. This happens with Genesis 2 and Daniel 10. They are two sides of the same truth, two phases of the same experience. Both of them are needed in life, night and day. We can't live only by having day, light. We need the darkness, we need the night. Talking and keeping silent. Being in fellowship and being alone. Both are needed for a wholesome, healthy life. It is not good that man should be alone. But it was when Daniel remained alone that he enjoyed the benefit of the vision. So, Daniel says, I was left alone and saw this great vision. No one else saw it. I had to be alone to see it. Happy, healthy, balanced life requires both of them. Being in fellowship with others and enjoying fellowship. Being alone and enjoying being alone. We have gains from both the sides of this religious coin. One is the opposite of the other, yet both of them are sources of blessing. Normally we choose one or we choose the other. Either we become supporters of the idea of fellowship, of being with others, a sense of community, of involvement, of activity. We are doers. Or we are supporters of the quiet time, meditation, prayer, aloneness with God, somehow monastic tendencies. Yet, we cannot really be healthy without both of them, keeping them in balance. So, let us now look at some of the gains, of the benefits we have, of the blessings we get from each of these two sides, being in fellowship and being alone. In fellowship, I find enrichment in my life. In fellowship, I become rich. In being alone, I find my poverty. Both of them are sources of gain. First, the richness I find I find my richness in other people. What is our true richness in life? The other people. That's why very old people are so, within inverted commas, so poor. They have no people to love and to be loved by. It is in relationships that man's richness can be measured. Everything else is simply the background against which his true treasure is to be enjoyed. Don't we find this in God's image? God's treasure is man. That is the meaning of creation. God loved and he created. And we see him walking in the garden and talking to man. Ideas in the book of Genesis are clothed in symbolism. We don't understand there everything. One thing is evident. Love, the need of fellowship, the need for friendship, that was God's treasure. Even after the fall, God continued to visit man and seek his fellowship. And you remember that last night, before the experience of the cross, the disciples are gathered around the Last Supper, the Last Table, with their Lord, and John mentions in his Gospel, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Love one another, the New Testament tells us. Why? Because the others constitute our treasure. Love brings to the surface the richness that there is in other people's lives and fills life with beauty. Now, the other side of the coin, poverty. In being alone, I find my poverty. All the voices around me every day, all the commotion of life, all the fellowship I enjoy, tend to hide my poverty. I must get alone to realize how poor I am. This happens in salvation. You remember the prodigal son with his friends. He enjoyed life in fellowship, not understanding how poor he was already, until he found himself alone, without friends, in the company of swine. He had to be alone to realize his sinfulness. Man must be alone to find the way which leads back to God. In major crises, in major decisions that we have to make, we somehow have to stay alone with no one on our side. Then we can hear God's voice clearer, to feel how inadequate we are, how poor, how unable to do what we must do. This sense of poverty leads people closer to God. You remember Jacob, that fugitive after spending 40 years away from his home. Now he is returning back home. He is not a young man anymore, of 17. He's a middle-aged man. He is a rich man today, in livestock and in love. So many around him he loves, and so many to love him. That night, before he meets Esau, his brother, that night was to be a night of a very great crisis in his life, and he had to be alone. He had to meet God alone. The river, on the one side, his richness, people, animals, color, beauty, meaning of life. On the other side of the river, he is alone. He has to fight with God. He is crushed under the sense of weakness and his poverty. And Jacob, we read, was left alone. And there, God blessed him. The poverty of being alone gave new contents to the richness of his fellowship. Now, a second thing. In fellowship, I find my duty. In aloneness, I find the power to do my duty. The Christian is related to duties. Or life in general is related to duties. There are circles around each of us. And these circles create our duties. The wider the circles become around our lives, the richer we get. The richer our life becomes, the more congested it gets with duties. For example, if we lived in a solitary island in the Pacific, very narrow would be the circle of our duties. The white-capped waves breaking on the shores of the island would draw the circles of our duties. Beyond those waves, the rest of the world seems to be non-existent. Persons who would raise demands to our love and our care are absent. Fortunately, we don't live in a solitary, remote island. That kind of life would be unbearably poor. We live in fellowship, in the presence of people. Every day, new voices place on us new tasks and duties. But where shall I find the strength to fulfill those tasks? In being alone. Being alone is the water reservoir which feeds the richness of fellowship. The Lord, you remember, many times led his disciples away from the people to be on their own. He had come for the people, for the multitudes. For the disciples, that this is true also. They had come to be led on a road of service. Jesus knew the reservoir gets empty if it is not fed. He drew them from the need of the multitudes to be for a while on their own, to be alone with God, to be alone with themselves, to renew their world inside them and give them new strength for new tasks. Do you remember that mountain? Jesus and the three disciples, the mountain of Transfiguration. There was beauty on that mountain, and there was glory. The mountain seemed to have been severed from the ground. That's how Peter felt that day. He did not want to return to the life as he knew it, Lord, he said, it is good that we stay here. The vision was so good that he forgot his duty. The mountain, every mountain, is inextricably connected with the plain, with the valley. There was the father with a sick child. So Peter's request was not granted. Jesus showed him and showed his disciples that there is always a path which joins the mountain with the plain, with a vision, with a duty. He had granted them the vision in order to give them new strength to be able to be true to their duty. We cannot be happy people. We cannot have joy in our lives. We cannot have light in our faces if we elbow aside our duties. But in order to do our duty well, we need to be alone. Alone with God. Alone with ourselves. In fellowship, I find myself. In being alone, I find God. That's the third thing, the third coin. In fellowship, I find myself. In being alone, I find God. Hard to believe, but in the fellowship of others, I find myself. The material with which I'll build my life, I'll have to borrow it from others. The best that is inside me, other people will help me to bring it to surface. In other people's presence and fellowship, I become who I am. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We would not be more than a useless, rusty piece of iron had it not been for our getting sharpened through everyday rubbing shoulders with other people. Laughter and sorrow, success and disappointment, our contact with them in the narrow straits of life. This is what caused us to become who we are. So in fellowship with others, I find myself. I'm grateful for it, and I must seek it and enjoy it. It is a gift of God. I especially think of this fellowship of believers, the local church. The new life is born in the singular, a personal encounter with God, but it grows and flourishes and matures in the plural. It is there, in the fellowship of the believers, that I discover my gifts, that I'll use them in the service to others. And in doing so, I will find myself growing and maturing. Lastly, in being alone, I find God. Moses was on Mount Horeb. He wants to sense the presence of God. There's an earthquake, the mountain is shaking, but the voice of God is not heard. There's a tempest, there's a great fire. God is not in these things. God was absent. He will have to be alone in silence to find God's presence. In order to grow, I have to get used to forget myself and to find God, to seek His presence, to listen to His voice. One day, I will experience the most awesome sense of being alone. Fellowship will disappear, will get out of sight. People, faces will recede to the background. The hour of death is the hour of the uttermost loneliness. Hard, cruel loneliness, the hour of being utterly alone. And suddenly, in an entirely new sense, I find God. He dispenses the human fellowship to find God in that hour of loneliness and be introduced then in the infinitely more beautiful fellowship in heaven. My friends, we need to enjoy this fellowship from now, because it is not good that man should be alone. Fellowship is good. In order, however, that this fellowship may be truly rich and satisfying, we need to learn to be alone with ourselves and God. Amen.